Amen. I want to give God all the honor and all the glory. Amen. So if we can stand, amen, we're going to get straight into it. If we can stand for the reading of God's word. And turn our Bibles to Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Amen. And I just want to give God all the honor and all the glory for everything He's done in my life. I want to thank my parents, who are my pastors, who have guided me, directed me for everything they've done. Amen. And also all the gang. Amen. I love the gang. Amen. The gang gave me an opportunity. And I also want to thank all those who helped us get to summer camp and sponsored the youth. We thank you. And it was well invested. Amen. So we thank you for what you guys did. Amen. So in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, it reads, "Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death. Will harvest decay and death from the sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit." Lord God, we thank you, God, for the reading of your word, God. We ask, God, that you, my God, minister to our hearts, God. Remove me to the side, God. And you say, God, what you want to say here tonight, God. We thank you, God, and we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. See, God has created us to live for Him. He has given us a purpose. He has given us a plan for our lives. Many of us, we came here to this ministry, and we didn't have a purpose. We didn't know what direction we were going. We didn't know what our life was going to have for us. But here we come, and God has a plan for your life. God has a purpose for our lives. Yeah. And our purpose is to satisfy His Spirit. It's to live for Him. Yeah. It's not our own desires. But see, many times we come to Christ, we come to church, and we come with our own plans. We come with our own desires. We have our 5-year set goal, right? Of what we want, of what type of job we want, what type of family we want, what type of spouse we want. We have our own desires. We want to please ourselves so many times. But the Word of God says that he who lives to please the Spirit will have everlasting life. I don't know about you, but I want to live my life pleasing the Lord. Yeah. I want to live my life pleasing God. That it's not about my own desires. It's not about what I want, but it's what God wants for my life. Amen. See, it's for those that are willing to lay their lives down, those that are willing to answer the call, those that are willing to reach hurting treasures in the midnight hour. Then it doesn't matter how early you have to wake up. It doesn't matter how late you might have to sleep. As long as I please the Lord, that's all that matters. That's all that I want to live for. And I went to that mountaintop expecting God to speak to me. I went up there expecting. And I went up there saying, God, you know what? I want more of you. I might just be 19 years old, 7 years serving God, but I'm not satisfied where I'm at. I want more of you, God. I want more of what you have for my life.
Yes.
See, many of us here, God wants more of you.
Yes.
He desires more of your time.
Yes.
He desires more of your life.
Yes.
And why? Because He wants you to have everlasting life.
Right.
He's not just being selfish and saying, you know, I just want you to live for me just because. No, He wants you to live for Him because He has greater things for you.
Right.
He has greater things than what this world can offer you. He has a greater plan for your life, and you were just to put your life in His hands.
Yes.
See, God is asking you to step in. God is asking you to step in. That's one of the things that was very highlighted there in the summer camp was God wants you to step in. Tell your neighbor, step in.
Step in.
So here tonight I have 3 points on why we don't step in. And the first point is we become complacent. We become complacent, meaning we become self-satisfied.
Wow.
See, in chapter 1, verse 32, it says, "For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroy them." See, many times we become complacent. We become complacent on where we live. We become complacent on our relationship with Christ. We're satisfied with just a Sunday morning service, with just a Friday night service, with just another Tuesday night service, or just an hour prayer life. We become complacent with our relationship with God. When God is saying that He wants more of you, we're self-satisfied with, just coming to church and just coming and just sitting in a chair. But God is saying, no, you cannot be satisfied with just coming to church. It takes more. It takes you stepping in.
Yes.
See, many times we can become complacent in our leadership.
Yeah, yeah.
We become complacent with just having 2 to 3 disciples.
Come on.
When God has given you the capacity for more.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We become complacent in our ministries with just a normal gang service, with just a normal Friday night.
Come
when
on.
God has called us to have more. See, our ministry is not a unique ministry. I'm here to let you know that Victory Outreach is a unique ministry. And if you're here today, it's because He has a plan for you. It's because you're not an ordinary person. We're settled to be mediocre, but God has called us to be not average. He has called us to be much more.
Hallelujah.
Yes. But we become complacent. Complacency will hinder your growth and destroy you. Never become satisfied with where you're at. Always strive for more.
Yeah.
Always strive for more. We don't have time for complacency. We don't have time for people to be satisfied. We need more men's home graduates. We need a women's home. We need discipleship homes. We need leaders to rise up out of the gang, out of the singles, out of the married couples. There are souls that are dying. There are souls that are out there that are waiting for you. We cannot be satisfied on where we are at.
That's right.
It's not about the money. It's not about a career. It's not about a job. It's about God. Because at the end of the day, when you get to heaven, He's not going to ask you how much money you made.
Yeah.
He's worried and he's more concerned about who you brought with you. I knew from the beginning that when I gave my life to Christ, that I wasn't made to be ordinary. I knew that at the age of 12, that I wasn't in an ordinary ministry. I looked around, and I knew that this was not a normal place. Look around. You shouldn't be here today. Your family shouldn't be here today. But look at you now. You're a part of something bigger. You're a part of something greater. And we don't have time to be satisfied.
Yeah. Wow. good. That's good.
See, we fear responsibility.
Wow.
We're afraid to make mistakes. We're afraid of a rebuke.
Wow.
We're afraid to take risk.
Wow.
So we hold back from stepping into the ministry, to stepping into what God has for us, because we're fear of the challenges. We're afraid of the responsibility.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't get close to our leaders. We don't get close because we know that they're going to challenge us. We know that they're going to make us do things that are uncomfortable.
Come on.
But see, our ministry and our church wouldn't be here today if our founders and our leaders and our pastors didn't weren't afraid to make those challenges. It was a challenge for Pastor Jesse to come to Texas where there was no church, where there was nothing here, and he had to start something from the ground up. It was a challenge for our pastors to come here and build a church in Grand Prairie when their lives were in Dallas, when their lives were over there. But they came here, and they weren't afraid of the challenge. They weren't afraid of the devil, and they knew that they had a plan, and they knew that they had to take risks.
Yes,
right.
See, many of us, God is calling us to take a risk.
Yes, right.
To join the worship team.
Come on.
To be in the youth ministry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wow.
To be a leader, to be an usher.
Come on.
Don't be afraid.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
you're going to make mistakes.
Yeah.
You're going to mess up, but that's okay. As long as you learn from them,
as long as
you grow and you develop, God will be on your side.
That's right, that's right.
It's the only way you can grow.
Yes.
The only way you can grow is if you challenge yourself.
Yes.
Challenge yourself to take those responsibilities.
Good.
Challenge yourself to be a woman of God, to be a man of God, to be the leader of your family.
Yes, yes.
Just get in there.
Yes, right. Yes.
That's all God is saying is just jump in.
Yes.
Jump in. Don't worry about what's going to happen.
Yes.
He got you. He's in control.
Yes.
If it's God's will, he will make a way.
That's good. Preach it.
That's good, honey.
And my third point is we don't step in because we can't let go. See, many times we're here and we keep trying.
Speak.
We're trying to make it to church on time. We're trying to be a better person. We're trying to be a leader. We keep trying, but something keeps stopping us.
Come on.
And many times it's because we don't have the right key. We keep trying to get in. We keep trying to make changes in our marriage. We keep trying to make changes within our children. We keep trying. But see, the key is you got to let go. You got to let go.
Yes, yes.
In Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. It reads, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passion and desire of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Meaning, you have to leave the pain, the sin, and the hurt. And you have to nail it to that cross because God already died for you.
Yes.
God already shed his blood for your sins. And the only thing that's holding some of us back from stepping in is letting go. Letting go of that unforgiveness. Letting go of that sin. Letting go of the gossip. Letting go of the immaturity. And God is saying, step in and let go of the world.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Let go. You are not called for just a 9-to-5. You are not called for just something ordinary. That's what the world says. But I have something greater for you. I have something stronger for you. I refuse to go do something that I wasn't meant to do. I know from the beginning that God has called me, and I refuse to do something else when God has called me to preach his word, when God has called me to disciple, when God has called me to be something greater. I will not lower my standards for this world. I'm going to step in for what God has for me, regardless of before me step in.
I've seen
my parents step in. I've seen leaders step in. I've seen Joshua run the men's home. I've seen Urban in the gang ministry.
Right.
I've seen leaders before me.
Yeah.
And I know that God can take care of me.
Right.
Just like He took care of our founders.
Yes.
Just like He took care of the leaders before me. And I believe and I stand on His promises. Those we all stand. And I'm just going to pray out. But I just want you to lift up your hands to the Lord. Lord God, we thank You, God, for this word, God. We know, God, that it was You, God. That it was You, God, and not me, God. And we pray, God, that You let us step in, God, and step out, God, with passion, God. Oh, God, move inside of us, God, to apply this to our life, God. We love You, God. In Jesus' name we pray.
What a powerful word. How many are ready to step in? Next speaker is a gang warrior, no stranger to us all, amen. He's also on his way to the UTC, amen. Hopefully in October he should be there, either in Mexico or Africa, amen. So that's the two options we have there, amen. And but he come back on fire from the Lord, with the Lord also from summer camp, amen. Put your hands together for Brother Jose Khalil.
Come on, somebody give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Yeah. Woo! Say, Gogano family, wear me out. All right, Lord. Here's my message. I want to thank God for my salvation and all that He's doing. Summer camp this year was different. It was different. You know I'm on time limit, so I'm going to hurry up. But it was different. You know, I went to the altar every time. God spoke to me every time.
Amen.
God took something out of me every time.
Amen.
See, it's that every time moment and every time experience that you get to grow.
Amen.
And to be with your leaders and to be with the gang reps there.
Yeah.
And talk to Pastor Ezra and tell him, hey, I'm next.
Come on.
I'm the one going.
Right.
You're
going
to call on somebody, pick my car. Come to Victory Outreach Grand Prairie.
Yeah.
And you're going to send anybody, send me.
Come on.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
The title of my message is called, it's called, I'm All In.
Oh, come on now.
Thank you, sister. It's my sister, amen. Amen. You know, she's grown a lot.
Amen.
Come on now. Sometimes she makes me cry because I'm sitting there and I'm like, God, we could have been somewhere else.
Come on.
But You saved us, amen.
Yes.
I'm all in. You may be seated, amen. Well, let's pray. Let's pray before you sit down. Father God, we come before You, God. I come humbly to Your throne, God. I pray, God, for the Holy Spirit, God, to move in this place, God. Move me aside, God, that I might decrease, God, for Your increase, God. In Jesus' name we say, amen. The reason why I titled this message, I'm All In, because sometimes, there were times in my walk with God where I wasn't all in. There were some times when I wanted to give up. There were some times I did, but there was something in my spirit where the Holy Spirit threw the rag back at me and said, hey, little brother, why don't you put some blood on there?
Hey.
Put some sweat on there.
Hey.
What do you mean want to give up? You haven't even moved a mountain yet. What do you mean want to give up? You haven't done nothing yet. And every time I went to that altar, they spoke. They would talk about swinging your sword. They're talking about being in warfare, and just because you're in warfare, it doesn't mean you can't build at the same time. In this ministry, we're called to sacrifice.
Right.
We're called to teach. We're called to disciple and build leaders.
Right.
And build leaders. See, I was once told, if you can't do it right, don't do it at all. But in this case, I'm going to give it my all.
Come on.
I'm going to give it my all. I'm not going to give up. I might mess up. Because the road to greatness is paved with great mistakes. We could turn our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 24. I'm all in. So turn to your neighbor and say, are you all in? Come on, Texas. Are you all in? Come on now. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 24. And I'm going to read it for the sake of time. As soon as the Israelite army saw him, they began to run away in fright. Have you seen the giant? The men asked. He comes out each day to defy Israel. The king has offered a huge reward to anyone of his daughters for a wife, and the man's entire family will be exempt from paying taxes. See, right here, it's talking about the children of Israel. It's talking about the Israelites. See, each day a giant would come out. How many of y'all know we face giants each and every day? Each day this giant came out and would continue to defile the kingdom of God. It'll continue to say, bring any man. If he may slay me, I will be his servant. But if I slay him, he'll bow down to me. How many of y'all know we ain't never going to bow down to the world? We're never going to bow down to that job. We're never going to bow down to the money. But when God appears, when the rapture happens, our knee will bow, our tongue will confess. But in this case, the Israelites were scared. My first point is we can't be complacent. Come on, somebody. They took my notes, but that's okay. Amen. The Sigogano family. Amen. My pastor. Amen. The Israelites let the giant put fear in them. When you let complacency come into your life, you let the devil put fear in you. Wow. When you come complacent into your life, when you get stuck, you're departed from your anointing. And if you're departed from anointing, you can't do God's work. Wow. You can't keep moving forward. You can't be going through a trial because it's that anointing that's going to push you forward. It's that anointing that door is going to open. It's that anointing that's going to take you across the world. Hello. But the Israelites, at this point in time of the day, they let fear. I don't know about you, but God didn't call me to be scared. Whoa. Come on, somebody. Amen. Not the fleshly way, hello, somebody. But in spirit. God ain't making me a man of God to tremble when the devil hits. God ain't making me a man of God to where when trials come, I tend to drop my sword. You want to all of a sudden drop your calling. Whoa. Come on, somebody. There was times where I got rebuked, like, God, you can have my calling. God, you can have, you know, whatever gifts you gave me. But see, as a game, as young adults and the church, we can't let the devil put fear in us. We can't let giants change who we are. Right. We can't let them change who we are. We can't let the storm change who we are. We can't let the devil change who we are. Because we're Victory Outreach. Oh, come on, somebody. We're called to go into the inner cities. We're called to go into spiritual warfare. We're called to be the light of the world. We're called because we're Victory Outreach. Are you Victory Outreach? This shirt doesn't make me Victory Outreach.
Come on.
Somebody could wear this shirt all day and say that Victory Outreach. But if you don't go to your mighty men's, if you don't go to the women's convention, if you don't go to the gang convention, if you don't go to summer camp, you ain't Victory Outreach because you're missing it. You're missing the mark. It's an international movement.
Low down.
An international movement.
Low down.
You got to go. We got to know that it's not just locally, but it's globally.
Come on.
Huh? And I could vouch for that. There are times where I didn't want to go, but Pastor said, get over. Spiritually, he was spanking me. I was living here at age 14. And he'd be like, you got to do this. I ain't got no money. He said, don't worry about that. The devil started putting fear in my life at a young age. The devil wants to put fear in this generation's life at a young age. He wants to put depression. He wants to put drugs. He wants to put suicidal thoughts. He wants to put all kinds of things in our life. Because of fear. Because of fear. But I got to teach my generation not how to fear. I got to teach my generation how to get on my knees and call upon God when I feel lonely. When I feel the things that are not of God.
Come on.
This is what I got to do.
Yeah.
My pastor told me if you want them to do it, you got to do it first.
Yeah.
Huh? If you want them to pray, Joshua would tell me, if you want them to pray, you got to go to the altars. Irvin would tell me, if you want them to fast, you got to fast.
If you got to be
a man that's broken, you got to show them how God can use broken people.
Yes, it's good.
I don't come from a high life family.
That's right.
But God will use broken men.
Yes.
God used broken women. God's anointing now generations stay broken.
Yes.
Don't let the devil tell you you can't. Don't let your giants come after you and shut you down.
Yeah.
But like little Timothy said, In order to slay a giant, you got to be a giant.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. In order to slay those giants and in order to overcome temptation, you got to be a giant over temptation. You got to be a giant over whatever you used to be, because that's what you used to be. But now you're a man of God. Now you're a woman of God. Now you're a gang girl. Now you're a gang warrior with no fear. No fear. We're victory outreach.
Come on.
Can you say that you're victory outreach?
Amen.
We're victory outreach. I love my church.
Come on.
I went through a lot in this church.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I'm going to stand here for what's right. I'm going to stand here for the game. I might have messed up, baby. I might have looked back, but I ain't going to go back.
Come on.
I'm going to shut that door.
Amen.
Sometimes you got to open it to see what's really going on. You got to go back for your family. Man, it's hard. I tell Pastor all the time. It's hard. It's hard. It is. Because they look at you and they try to look at your mess ups. And I'm like, look, cuz. I tell cuz, you know, it's my cuz. Look, cuz, man, that ain't for you, dude. Look, bro, you got an ankle bracelet on, man. We're not animals, man. We're made to serve God. We're made to preach the gospel. We're made to travel the world. I don't care what society says you are. I don't care what society says you are. Let me tell you something. I came from a shack, living in a shack. From living with the pastor, from being a part of the worship team, to flying in airplanes, to going around the world, to Mighty Men's, to California. But because I didn't let fear, I didn't let the world tell me who I wasn't.
Yeah.
I let God tell me what my identity was.
Yeah.
I had to understand who I was.
Yeah.
I could have been like my father and did what he did, but even my dad knew that, hey, this ain't right. Me, listen to that man. Listen to that man. Talk about pastor, right?
Good.
Listen to that man. He goes, that man has wisdom. So I might not show you how to act like a man, be a man, but he's what it is.
Good,
and I followed the footsteps. It was scary, but I was right there. I messed up. My needles were right there. Rebukes. Woo, I love rebukes. Sometimes they hurt, though.
Come on.
Because I learned from it. Today I was outside washing everybody's car. But I learned from it. While I was washing pastor's car, I cried. I cried. It kind of got onto me, you know? But it's okay. So I need you to serve.
Yeah.
And in my mind, I'm like, man, I'm ready to let the devil attack me because I'm being rebellious. But I was struggling. I said, God, clean my heart.
God, clean my heart.
I don't want this no more. The giant's still going to come after me no matter what. But I need you to clean this area. Take that part of my life, because where I'm going, I don't need it no more. Take that jacket off of me, because where I'm going, I don't need it no more. Somebody shout amen. Somebody gotta praise him. God's gonna take your breaking. You don't need the jacket no more. You ain't gonna need it. You don't gotta be a gang member no more.
Yeah.
You don't gotta sell your body no more. Young adult, you don't gotta run to pornography no more. Sorry for my vocabulary. But you ain't got to. But I'm gonna keep moving. The Israelites were complacent. But it stirs me up when I read about the young man David. Let's go to 26:20. We're gonna read from 26 verses to 29. David asked his soldiers standing nearby, what will a man give for killing the Philistines and ending his defiance of Israel? Who is the pagan Philistine anyway? This is allowed to defy the armies of the living God. And these men gave David the same reply. They said, yes, it's a reward for killing him. But when David's older brothers, Eliab, heard David talking to the men, he was angry. What are you doing around here? Anyway, he demanded, what about those few sheep you're supposed to take care of? I know about your pride and descent. You just want to see the battle. 29. What have I done now? David replied. I was asking a question. He walked over the same. He walked over some others and asked the same thing and received the same answer. Then David's question was reported to King Saul, and the king sent for him. David was the only one who said, I'm all in.
Come on. Yeah.
See, don't let the haters affect you. Let them refuel you.
Come on.
The world's gonna hate.
Come on.
Somebody at your job's gonna hate because you're gonna get a raise, but it wasn't because of you, it was because of God.
Come on.
See, somebody once told me, if you work for God, God's gonna work for you.
Oh, that's good.
See, this is what David did. He knew about the sheep. Come on, somebody. He slayed the lion. He slayed the bear. But he some caught his ear.
Yeah.
Huh? Some caught his ear. The giant. This is all we need in this generation for a young man or a young woman, a married couple, a single.
Yeah.
We can't let our giants. We can't let a giant slay us.
Yeah.
You can't let them take over.
Right.
No matter how big the giant is, no matter what your bank account looks like, no matter what your gas, what is it called? A little gas thing you look like. Come on, somebody. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all big outreach. Everybody roll on you. I'm just kidding. Be blessed, man. But we can't let them take over. We can't let the giant shut our mouth. We can't let the devil shut our mouth. Because there's a giant in Grand Prairie, and the Lord is calling out somebody to take that giant out. That giant is walking the streets. That giant is selling his body. I want to let you know that if there are any giants left in the house, any giant slayers in the house,
come on,
verse 32-33. Don't worry about the Philistine, David told Saul. I'll go fight with him. Don't be ridiculous, Saul replied. There's no way you can fight the Philistine and possibly win. You're the only boy has been, you're only a boy and he has been in war since his youth. But David persisted. I have been taking care of my father's sheep, goats, he said. When a lion and bear came to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it. With the club and rescued the lamb from its mouth. Go to 37. The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion bear will rescue me from the Philistine. Saul finally consisted. All right, go ahead. And he said, and may the Lord be with you.
Come on.
You got to understand something. He said, go ahead, let the Lord be with you. But see, if you keep reading in 38, Saul tried to give him his armor. See, you can't just step in somebody else's shoes. You can't just step into somebody else's calling.
Come on.
Saul couldn't just give David his armor. Why? Because this was David's fight.
Yeah.
You got to fight your own.
Come on.
When I go to the UTC, I could call my pastor, yes, but I can't always run to him. He's not going to be there.
Right,
but with
right.
what I learned and the armor that I got on
right.
and the sword in my hand and the peace on my feet, I got to fight. I got to fight my own battle. You got to fight. Maybe you ask, well, why isn't there anything on his back? Because when you're slain, everything's dead. Everything behind you is dead. Your mistakes is dead. Your past is dead. That person, man, that hated you is dead. Why? Because the devil, if you keep going but never look back, you won't ever get hit.
Good.
You got to keep going forward. You got to keep pressing on. You let those arrows hit your chest. You let the little birdie whisper in your ear. Oh, come on, somebody. But when you pop the armor of God, you're going to keep going. You're going to keep fighting. And this is what David said. I cannot go. I'm not used to this. Let me fight with what I got.
Yeah.
And we all know he had a slingshot and some stones.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. All it takes is love. It's a slingshot prayer.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. You're right there in the name of Jesus. I pray, God, for my family, God. I pray, God, for my pastors, God. My leaders, God. I pray for myself, God. Because I'm all jacked up, God. And it's going. It's flying. And the devil's trying to hit it. The devil's trying to hit it. But because you've been in your prayer closet. But because you've been reading your word. You've been eating the manna. The devil's trying to smack it. And it's flying. And it hits the giant. And now you have overcame that giant in your life. A giant that's been trying to take you down. Some of us have been fighting the same giant for years. Come on, somebody. That was me. For 3 years I was fighting the same giant. I let it continue to stomp on me. I let it continue to I started to doubt. There was times in the ministry was like, man, God, is this really you? I continue to doubt. I let that giant get into my head. But it was there. And the mountaintop. When they started talking about swinging your hammer and building, when Nehemiah was there with the king, and he seen a vision for Jerusalem. He said, "Can I go and build the walls? For over 50 years we've been building walls. For over 50 years drug addicts been changed. For over 50 years this ministry is gonna be here longer. But who's all in? Are you ready to build your bricks? Are you ready to swing your hammer? Huh? Are you ready?"
Come on. Yeah.
I've been in this ministry for 8 years.
It's gonna be 8 years.
And God did something in my life.
Yes.
God, man, God changed me around. If you knew some of me, you would smack me. But praise God, you didn't. But it was there living with my pastor in the mental room at 14, waking up 4 o'clock in the morning to get a hold of God. I didn't understand. I didn't understand what God was trying to do with me. Huh? Those generational curses were trying to hang on to me. But it was down Park Road Church. I remember like it was yesterday. At a gang service. It was 2012. It was 2012 when God spoke to me. I was young, man. I was 14. I wanted to be a part of the world. I wanted to be a gang member. I wanted to have tattoos all over me. But God said, "No, you don't got to live like that. You don't got to be dragged to the mud." It was right there when Pastor was praying for me, when my mom was praying for me, when my sister was praying for me. And I felt that's when the battle started. Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, that's when the devil and God was fighting for my life. That was when my pastors were in prayer and they were fighting for my life. That was when my leaders now were on their knees and fighting for my life. But I had to come to an understanding that I had to put it all in. I had to stack my chips. I had to earn my bones. I didn't come up here just to come up here. I came up here because somebody asked me to, and all I'm doing is saying yes. This is why I'm going to the UTC. I'm a risk taker, baby. I've grown up to be a risk taker. I went to the mountaintops. I didn't have no PTO, paid time off. Forget PTO. PTO ain't going to give me to heaven. My bank account ain't going to give me to heaven. I gave my car to my mom. It was hard. One pastor called me. I said, "Your pipe wasn't all right." I'm prideful. "Mom, here's the car." "No, take it." "No, pastor's going to get mad at me." "No, take it. Get away." Well, I was fighting. But God did something. Huh? Everybody in this front row can come up here and testify how ignorant I was. Come on, just being real. How prideful I was. They know there was no humbleness in my life. Till today, I still feel I got to watch myself. But it's all God's glory.
Yeah.
It's all God's glory. Amen. We can all stand. From Pastor Sonny. From Pastor Ed. From Pastor Jesse. To our pastor. Risk takers. Risk takers, man. And I long to be like that. You married couples. I long one day to have a family. And what my pastor saying is right. You better act right because I'm looking at you.
Come on, that's right.
I want to have a family. God wants to do something in my life. Sister Celeste said it good. She said it good. We can't be complacent.
Right.
We can't be complacent people. Amen. Right, Toria, just lift your hands. Come on, just worship God. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, right there, yeah.